Hello, welcome back to the Nakazawa Show. It's June 2nd, 2021, and this one is less scripted. So here's the interesting thing. If you've been only listening to this series so far, you'll actually get a lot of value out of reading this post and or watching it. So all three versions of this post, the written, the video, and the audio version are completely different. And the audio version, to be clear, is a little bit shorter than the others. The video version is the longest, but this is a life coding event. And obviously that is very hard to convey over a podcast. So the interesting thing is that we're doing this series about understanding JavaScript infrastructure. And the first one was about dependency managers. The second one was about rethinking JavaScript infrastructure. And this one is about building a JavaScript testing framework. But unfortunately, we cannot really build a JavaScript testing framework just using audio. I can maybe read the code to you, but it would probably not be very effective. So the reason why I wanted to actually show people how to build a JavaScript testing framework is because I think it's a really powerful way of learning about infrastructure. Because there's one part of like me writing, here's what I've learned over the last 10 years or so, and you just take that for granted and assume that I'm right. It's possible that I'm not, even though I like to think that I have good ideas. I think it's much better to find a way to teach others to have even better ideas. And learning how to build a JavaScript testing framework gives you that understanding of, okay, here is what Jest actually does when it's running a test. When I call Jest, it like takes a little while, it runs our test. Here's what it actually does, and here's how it actually works under the hood. And this post and video series, it's about actually building a test framework that is as close to Jest as possible. It uses a bunch of modules that are part of Jest to build something that is almost as powerful as Jest in just 100 lines of code. And the interesting thing here is that Jest consists of 50 packages. It's almost like a framework for building JavaScript testing frameworks. It's not just testing framework. It's this one thing where the sum is not greater than the parts. The parts individually are pretty great, and you can compose any sort of tool from it. So by learning how to build a testing framework using Jest's packages, not only will you understand how to build a testing framework or how Jest works, you'll also be able to take those packages and compose other things with it. So that's why I highly encourage you, after you stop listening to me on this podcast, to actually check out the video version or the written version of it. There's code also on GitHub that you can check out, and it's only about 100 lines of code. That's the level of abstraction we're working with here, where we're starting from scratch and we're doing a lot of things by hand. And I'm showing like the basic version of like how describe works, how a VM context works, how to parallelize things across multiple processes or threads, depending on which Node.js version you're using. And I'm not just showing that in a basic way, but when it gets more complex, we can either spend a lot of time drilling down individually into each of these like problems, but I'm just pulling in certain Jest packages that take care of these things for us. So if you're like trying to figure out how certain things work inside of Jest, you can just go through this guide and then you'll get this understanding of how Jest is composed and like how to look into certain parts of it to figure out like how things are working, both in Jest and in our testing framework. We're doing four things. One is they're looking for files on the file system, so it can figure out which tests to run and which modules to require from other tests. Then running these tests in parallel across worker processes, using a framework to add, describe, it functions like expect and mock functions and all of these things. And then also how we isolate these modules from each other. And because I was saying that Jest consists of 50 packages, there's this whole architecture diagram. You can find another video on my YouTube channel that goes and explains the entire architecture of Jest. And I think that's also really valuable if you want to get this high level overview of here's how this framework is actually composed. And one of the interesting things there is that it wasn't like designed or planned initially, and it used to be this like single package thing. And I started looking at it, and there are all these integration patterns where I felt like here's where we might want to swap out the integration at some point, or here's where we might want to swap out that thing at some point with something better. And a lot of that work over time, it crystallized that if we split things up into packages that we all publish separately, we can also replace specific parts of Jest over time. And a lot of that
work inspired the principles that were part of the first blog post that I made, because I learned so much from that experience of incrementally evolving Jest into something that's actually awesome, but at the same time gaining a lot of option value in the system where we can swap out like slow parts or bad parts or like just improve certain things. And we have done that time and time again. So early on, I took this package called Jest Taste Map, which we'll also be using to build our testing framework, to which like looks for files and extracts dependency information really fast. Like I abstracted all that out of Jest into its own package, and then I rewrote that package completely to be like super fast, if this is what we're using today. Another example is Jest started out using Jasmine, the testing framework that you've most likely either used or like at least heard of. And then at some point we kind of just wanted to dump a lot of the functionality it had there because it was like not applicable to Jest and like slow and outdated. We made the test runner completely injectable. It only has a few hooks, so you can swap it out with a config. So we swapped out, we had Jasmine 1, so I made it swappable with Jasmine 2, so we upgraded to that in like, you know, late 2015 or something. And then I dropped a lot of code from Jasmine and made a fork, and it was like Jasmine Lite. I think we still kept the same name, but we could just drop that in. And then Aaron Abramov came around and built Jest Circus, which was a drop-in replacement for Jasmine, but like with a completely new architecture that's like much more modern, that's some sort of mutable Redux implementation, I would say. And like the great thing is that now after a couple of years, we are so confident that it's stable that we just like swap out the default. So you upgrade from Jest 26 to 27 and you'll have a completely new test runner that instruments your tests that like actually orchestrates your test runs. And I think that just speaks to the power of this modularization of splitting everything apart and then composing it into the test framework that it is. And at the same time, being able to pull these things apart even more and more so that you can use these packages for other purposes. The next post is going to be about building a JavaScript bundler using the same primitives that Jest offers. And the cool thing is that you can build basically any sort of JavaScript tooling built on top of Jest. And I think that is like just really exciting. In the article, we're making use of Jest Taste Map of Jest Worker that parallelizes things across worker processes, Jest Circus to orchestrate tests, Expect, which is a package inside of Jest that provides assertions, Jest Mock, which is the mocking library, and then also the Jest environment node. There's also, again, something that you can plug in. You can either use a Node.js environment or JS DOM environment or your custom environment if you're like writing tests for a platform that's like different and you want to emulate different things. So we're gonna also use one of those packages. And then in the bundler post, in the guide for building a bundler, we're gonna use Jest Resolve to resolve modules from one path to another when we like require modules. There's so many interesting packages. It's pretty format. It's like inside of Jest, which allows you to have a pretty representation of objects when you're like printing them into snapshots. Jest Snapshot is like a separate package. Jest Watch is a separate package. So like the entire watch mode actually of Jest could just be taken and put into something else. Reporters are separate. There's so many things inside of Jest that like just compose this test framework, and as I said, they're easy to swap out and they're all replaceable with different implementations that we could just take. And I think that is just like super exciting, and this is the reason why I think in 5 to 10 years from now, most projects will still be adopting and using Jest. It's not gonna go away just because of this powerful architecture that wasn't planned, that evolved over time of just like how I thought about providing the most option value in the system so that it has long-term success. It's not necessarily that was my main goal, but it was something where I felt like I can move fast to make Jest better and also enable this kind of continued growth and this sustainable platform that will be around for a very long time. And I'm confident that people will be happy using Jest for a really long time, and it will be fast for a really long time. And if not, we can look at the pieces that are becoming slow and then swap them out with something more modern. And I think that's another powerful part of it. If you have a monolith, then either you have some very motivated people that will keep everything upgraded all the time and modern and make really large sweeping changes. But if you have a monolith, usually things are so entangled that you have very few people that can actually understand any one part of a system. So the great thing about this separation is that you get this separation of concern. So people that send pull requests to Jest don't have to know the entire system. They can just look at one package and make improvements or swap out the package with something that's much better. So if there's a pattern, I guess Jest Worker is a good example where in the past we needed to spawn processes to do work across different processes because Node is single threaded. But nowadays Node has worker threads. There still might be some performance differences, but those will go away eventually. So maybe Jest Worker can be rewritten with a new implementation that's much simpler, that only works with worker threads, that doesn't have the whole machinery for starting and managing and maintaining processes anymore. And as long as the API surface will be the same within Jest, we can just swap that package out with something more modern. And that way we can rip out certain legacy things completely and remove them from Jest and like still be modern. And another good example there is, again, like how we replaced Jasmine with like our own test runner that like orchestrates tests. And I'm trying to think of other examples, but we have done that time and time again. Expect is actually one of those where we had, I think it was part of Jasmine, we dumped that implementation completely, we built our own version of Expect for Jest specifically. And then at the time we got the Expect name donated to us. So we took over that package, but made it somewhat compatible with the old version so that people could upgrade. So Expect is one of those that we replaced. I'm trying to think of some others. I think the Jest Watch package was like created by pulling out a bunch of stuff from Jest. The Jest Validate package is an interesting one where we like just thought we need validation for configuration objects. So we pulled it out from Jest into the standalone package, and it can be used in other places like Metro, the JavaScript bundler for React Native, is using that package. So anyway, I've been going on for quite a while here to give some background information about why I think it is so powerful to have this separation of concerns and some background knowledge about like how Jest evolved and like how I'm thinking about that. So let's get back to talking about
the framework we're building is called Best. And one of the interesting things here is that there's so many ways of like making fun of Jest. There's one framework idea, so we're calling it Best. We're gonna be tame. There's one idea, we could call it Zest, we could call it Vest, we call it Rest, we could call it West. One that I really love is Digest with a J, and this is also where things are entirely random, because where this podcast becomes random, because that reminds me of how I'm completely unable to pronounce or to even understand the difference between the word jest, making a joke, and chest, like the part of my body. And I remember driving around in California after a hiking trip alone in my car and just trying to pronounce the difference, pronounce the two words to like understand the difference. And that was like 5 or 6 years ago now. And if you don't know me, I'm not a native English speaker, as you can pretty clearly hear if you're listening to this podcast. And some of those words and like some of the ways of making sounds in English are still completely foreign to me, and I cannot understand, I cannot hear the difference between those words. And it's amazing to look at my daughter, who is growing up with English, Japanese, and German as her native languages, how she can actually hear those differences and understand those differences. And how it's also interesting then that when she speaks a bit less German than English, and how she's using English pronunciation for some German words, and like how that sometimes like how she mixes things up, and how things that make sense to me in German don't make sense to her when she's thinking with an English mindset. So that was a slight tangent, but yes, there are a lot of ways to find a name for your best testing framework that is not called Best and not Jest, and it could be something more funny. So going back from that, at the end of this journey, you'll be able to have a complete testing framework that you can actually use if you'd like to, and that you can extend. There's a bunch of challenges that I put in as well. So if you're like super into building test frameworks, you could like extend this framework that we're building on the blog post by adding snapshot testing, adding code transformations, adding configuration files, adding a watch mode, and then building an entire custom implementation of a resolver to require calls to a test framework. And as I said, it's only about 100 lines of code, so I highly recommend you to check it out. I haven't quite figured out yet how to bring code tutorials to podcasts, but I hope you enjoyed this part of this one episode that is like distributed across three different mediums as well. And please let me know what you think. All right, thank you.